Which one are you picking, gentlemen?
The tea, if you please.
Right. What tea is the system which broadcasts pages of information for... Yes, Shima?
Teletext.
That's it, teletext it is, yes. And if you happen to have a television set which receives teletext, you'll know all too well what it is.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, crikey. Weetabix.
Wrong. Shredded wheat.
You're right, Carl. How are you doing?
Yeah, that was just a funny bit that I put before really good podcasts.
Yes, notice how you said really good there. That's foreshadowing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's suggestive, you see. So, you know, if we get two listeners, at least I'll know it's really good, hopefully. But, yes. Hello, Dan. Welcome. Thanks for coming along and making this podcast happen.
Yes, welcome, Carl. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Teletext R podcast. Well, at least that's what we think we're going to call this. But if you guys out there in Twitterland, Facebook land, and any other land that exists, although I can't think of any right now, drop us a tweet, text, whatever, at... Oh, this is where I have to read out my Twitter handle, which is invariably tricky. Illarterate, at Illarterate, that's Illarterate, or that other Carl, so that's that underscore, other underscore Carl.
Yes, I guess you're really dying to know why that's my Twitter handle.
I am indeed.
No? Oh, okay, lovely. it's nothing that exciting. I had two Twitter accounts. I had Retro Gaming Carl and that other Carl, and I got a bit fed up with Retro Gaming Carl because in the end it was just like loads of tweets going, retweet if you've used a joystick, and, you know, retweet if you know how to rewind a cassette with a BIC and things like that, and it wasn't really telling me anything. So I started another Twitter account off, and it was that other Carl. So, and that's where it is. So I killed Retro Gaming Carl off, and that's where I am with that. That's me.
And you never looked back. Hence, here we are today on this the Teletext R podcast.
Podcaster. Say it goes. Podcaster.
Yes, because it's a pirate.
Yeah, we're a pirate podcast. Brilliant. It's like being back at Radio Caroline.
Of course. Broadcasting from the North Sea oil rig.
Yeah, well, you mentioned any other lands, Dan. I've looked at the pictures of Pluto. I think that's definitely a planet. So we'll accept anything from Pluto as well. We're dying to know about their Pluto teletext as well.
Of course.
Well.
Yes, Pluto text. I remember the days when Pluto was a planet.
Back in the days when the Argos catalogue was only an inch thick, Dan.
Ah, of course. And when Teletext had over 200 pages on it.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, sorry. We're drifting off into a mild trance again. This always happens with me. I'm sorry on these podcasts. So, yes, I should introduce this podcast. As if you hadn't already figured out, this is a podcast about anything to do with Teletext, from the crude pixel art to your memories of waiting 25 minutes for a page to change, only to realize that the station had gone off air. and indeed, if anybody has experienced that, I'd love to hear from you.
With the hashtag TeletextR, so we know that you're listening.
Yes, TeletextR, only one R.
Yes, only one R. Yeah, that's bring up a good point there about the teletext and the carousel. You'd put in the page and you'd just be waiting for it to flick over, and you'll find out that you'll be in a big hurry to read the first page, thinking that you're only halfway through it, and then there'll be that pregnant pause waiting for the page to actually shift. I always remember that one as well. That was probably the most annoying one, going, reading it too quickly, not actually digesting any information in abeyance for a page that never came.
Yes, and then sometimes it would never change, and when it finally did, it had skipped to 52 and you were on 3.
Yes, that's right, that's at the end of the story or whatever. Oh no, turns out it was a woman. Oh no, nightmare. Well, the only other thing that kept glitching for me, being a Queen's Park Rangers fan, it kept showing the wrong score for too long as well, so it wasn't very good for the heart condition.
Ah, yes. I've got a question, actually. You coined the term Teletext R, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, where does the extra R come from? Is it a reference to QPR?
It's not a reference to QPR, although unless they want the rights, and then yes, it is. Basically, you've got Flickr and things like that, and there's a lot of teletextings and all that there. And I just thought I'll be a teletexter. So I am a teletexter, like you got detectorists for metal detectors and things like that. So I'm a teletexter, and and that's how it goes, you see.
Ah, I get it now. I've been pronouncing it incorrectly. It's teletexter and not teletext-ah. So I'll have to note that down.
I suppose, you know, in the estuary, you're a teletexter. I don't know what else you'd be anywhere else in the world, but yeah, it's teletexter.
You would be a teletexter or a video texter.
You'd be a teletexter. Yes, very good.
Teletext-or.
Teletextor, yes. I like that, yeah. But there's anything catch on in America. She could have teletextor.
Teletextor. That sounds Swedish for some reason.
For sure. Togo for well.
Oh dear. The racism creeps in slowly. No.
Well, that was goodbye and farewell in my finest Norwegian. I hope I didn't offend many people.
Hi to all our cousins in Scandinavia where teletext lives happily.
And how do we know it lives happily, Dan?
Because I have seen it. No, I haven't. I don't know. I've seen it on the internet, though.
Yes, yeah. Now, I must admit, being in Europe, I do feel like we're the poorer relations of some of these countries that still manage to keep a teletext service going, even through these austere times. Now, I don't know if you've seen anything on the Twitter feeds on, I think it's ARD Text or R Text, they do teletwitter, where they get a very popular TV program. And I'm not really sure if it's sort of like a kitsch thing. I'm not really sure if Tattooed is actually a particularly good TV show by reading some of the tweets, but I think the main thing, the most entertaining thing for it is that if you're in Germany watching the show, you can actually tweet our text with the hashtag Tattooed or whatever program. Tattooed, I think, means crime scene or seen a crime in German, and they would actually put your tweet up on the mix, so it's actually displayed up on the screen. I think that's absolutely brilliant. What great innovation, you know, and it's just things like that we're missing out on, you know. They're going to be closing BBC Three down because the youth aren't, they think they can get the youth in different ways, but they've got these most simple steam-powered analog ways to do things, and we're just chucking them all in the bin. And that's the end of our first feature, Carl on his soapbox. Thank you very much.
Well, you make another good point, because actually teletext and indeed BBC probably still do have the facilities to run teletext somewhere, because we've figured out this month, in fact, via Super Wonderstar on Twitter, that's the Industrious Ant, that subtitles still run on quite a lot of cable TV stations.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah, that would be right. I mean, I think the Racing UK still run a teletext service as well.
Yes, that's the largest remaining one in the UK, I do believe, and that's run by a company called TV Text, who are based in Ipswich.
Ah, just up the road from us then. So, yeah, that's we're paying for it. I can understand that we got all this shiny new teletext or whatever they want to call it, because they went BBC I, everything went iMad for a while, and I think they were very quick to throw the teletext in the bin. But I mean, in the line of work that I am in my day job that pays for the computer that I'm talking on and all that, you know, you work with some pretty vulnerable groups, and you know, they had a fair bit of empowerment by using teletext, and then overnight they were given no other alternative but having to press red on particular channels, and that's if they could get the picture up on the telly, because they have to press extension on one remote and then fire up a box on another. So just from a social point of view, you know, they've done away with an awful lot. And you look at big news events, maybe not so much now, but in the times of 9/11, when there's still a lot of dial-up broadband, people crashed the internet in the vacuum for news, and no one had to worry about teletext at all, because it had like a fixed bandwidth. So for emergencies and for essential information, it's certainly needed, I think.
I think modern teletext is, well, teletext as it is. People still call it CFAX, but it's actually the BBC red button. It's just added layers of complication that you don't necessarily need. I get the feeling that they're clinging onto the old traditions, the old page numbering system. The bare-bone service that we still have is a love letter, I think, to the old teletext. Yeah. And the fact that some people still do use it, the subtitles on the old analog services still do run. There are obviously some people out there, may even be listening to this podcast, still use analog subtitles. Very, very useful technology. and facility.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess, you know, we got to move on with the times. I mean, if they brought back teletext tomorrow, I doubt many people would use it. It would be more of a kitsch thing. But I just think we've probably done away with the technology a bit too soon. And especially now you can actually get your hands on stuff that you can use on your own computer to actually make the teletext graphics that the professionals were using all the years ago, and actually putting that in the hands of people who never used it before. We've seen with our own eyes how successful that's been with people.
Yes, indeed. Teletext is back in the hands of the users. If we think back to the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s, only the big corporations, the TV stations, could broadcast teletext. But now, skip forward to 2015, and you, yes, you can make your own teletext service in the comfort of your own home. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is true.
Absolutely. You wouldn't have believed it unless you listened to us on this very podcast. But yeah, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, you go on teletext40.com, there's an edit facility on there. You can make your own page, no matter how brilliant it is. But, you know, you get the hang of it. Do whatever you like. Do your own spoof pages and stuff. And then you can just save the link to that particular page, and that'll always come up as how you want it. And one of the amazing things about coming onto Twitter, and the amazing thing about Twitter, was that I didn't know anybody else that was messing around with teletext until I actually met you guys through it. Jason Robertson, Peter Kwan, and was it Raquel Myers as well?
Yes, Raquel Myers.
With her Petsky graphics. Yeah, absolute wizards on teletext. And I started, I don't know about you, did you start with Cerebratext or something on the Microtel site? Is that how you started?
Yeah, I guess that's where I first heard of teletext art in about 2008. I'll tell the story. We might as well go back to the beginning. When I was at university, I decided for some strange reason that I was going to do my dissertation on teletext art. The course was a multimedia arts course, which was basically a fine arts, computers, graphic design, stuff like that.
Nice.
And I decided I'm going to do it about teletext art very, very early on, so I found the Cerebratext editor through the VBI MicroTel project and messed around with it, wrote my dissertation, that was that. And then, flash forward again, 3 more years to 2012, I saw an open invitation for the International Teletext Art Festival 2012. So anybody could enter that. Anybody with access to a computer that ran Cerebratext could enter that. And so I entered about 10 or 12 pitches. I went mad over the course of 2 weeks and entered as many entries as I could.
It's easy to do, Dan.
And surprisingly, they published all of them. I don't know why. I thought they would pick the best, like, 3 or 4, but they just published everything, all my little experiments that I sent them.
Did they only send the invitation to you, Dan? I hope loads of other people had a go as well.
Oh, yes, they did. It was on the Teletext mailing list. Yes, guys, there used to be a thing called a mailing list, and people used to email each other before Facebook.
Well, that's all well and good, but how would you put all that in a postbox? You know, it's ludicrous. I mean, these days we've got proper email and Messenger and Twitter and things like that. But again, you know, that's why I like Twitter so much. You know, you can just follow people that have your interest, and you can stay in your own little sphere, really, can't you? It's really good. So were there any prizes or anything for this?
Oh, in the first one, I don't believe there was, but I got sent for participating a Videotext t-shirt, which I usually end up wearing at Teletext events.
I think I may have seen you actually sporting that very t-shirt.
And I'll tell you something fun about that t-shirt. It is an extra large ladies' shirt, so it looks massive on me.
Well, I've seen some extra large ladies, and I don't think that would fit them. But there you go.
It's a figure hugging extra large, yes.
Well, yeah, I guess it's. But yeah, no, brilliant, brilliant. Is that the one Berlin on it or something like that? Is it Berlin? I can't remember if it's some. Was it a German thing or something on there?
I think it says Videotext 30 years. Oh, what's 30 in German?
30, isn't it? 30 Jahre.
30 Jahre. Yes,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's cool. Well, hello to our German listeners.
Yes. We've said hello to the Scandinavian listeners, and now hi to the German listeners.
Guten Tag, mein Freund von Deutschland. Guten Tag, yes. Wie geht es Ihnen? I think, and that's it. That's all I can do, I promise.
Ja, bitte.
Yeah, bitter.
And it's all done at the touch of a button.
CFAX, a name manufactured from seeing facts.
The present output of CFAX is roughly 50 pages.
CFAX's facility to update information quickly makes it a complimentary service.
60, 70, 80, 20 more pipes, 20 more pipes, oh, 20 more pipes.
All that is just the beginning. Looking even further ahead, there's the really exciting possibility of using a domestic television receiver as a home computer terminal.
Right, yes. Yeah, so what we're going to do with this podcast as well is we're going to show this on YouTube, aren't we, Dan?
Yes, indeed. At first, this is only going to be on YouTube, but eventually we hope to syndicate this through the fantastic Retro Unlim Network.
Excellent. So this is exclusive to the very small amount of people that are using YouTube. That's you as in you and a tube as in tube. And it's very exclusive. Only all the people on YouTube can watch this. And what we're going to do as well, because it obviously it does pictures as well as the audio, is we will be putting slides up pertaining to whatever palm tree rubbish we're talking about. Now, I see a palm tree would go up out there, Dan. You see? See what I did there? It's suggestive.
The magic of video.
Oh, incredible. And in colour. And what we've done today is we've actually thrown out the notion that we might be mad enough to do a whole podcast about teletext culture. And I think you tweeted out a question, didn't you, Dan?
Yes. I put out a call on the Twitters for questions and topics to cover in this very podcast. And we've had quite a large response considering that was only 24 hours ago. So shall we crack on with this? Hey!
Right, shall we do we should have a mailbag jingle, but we don't. So there you go. So yes, welcome to Ask Teletexter.
Teletexter, yes. Ask Teletexter with me, the pirate guy.
Pirate Dan.
Long John Teletexter.
I'm not a pirate, I'm a farmer.
I'm a Somerset farmer, you understand?
I've got a brand new combine harvester with fast text.
They've done some crazy covers. They might actually do that. The Wurzels. If we ask
yes, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I've got a Bush 22-inch. And you've got a Ferguson Video Star.
Yes.
Yeah, that brought it back from a double entendre city, didn't it? There you go.
Yes, there's nothing at all suggestive about that. That's the 18-plus version that's only broadcast after 11 p.m.
Yeah, so don't watch this video unless it's past 11 o'clock in your own country.
Yes, of course. Right, so I think we better get to these questions.
Okay, go.
Okay, Rusty Russ, he is a favourite on Twitter of the...
Is that with one or two S's?
That is with two S's in each
Russ
instance.
With two S's or an S. He could have had an S. If he was German, Rusty Russ, he'd like have an S. Like Curly B. And that would just take care of everything. Yeah, I think we should campaign. Rusty, when you're listening to this, we think you should have an S-et and not two S's. And then no one can get your name wrong when they try and name check you on their Teletext R slides.
You can have two S-ets.
Yes, that'd be...
Russ.
Yes. Well, that was a great question.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Okay, what's he want to know, Dan? We need to answer this question.
Well, he's submitted quite a few questions. We'll see if we can get through as many of these as possible. But the first one is this. Mm-hmm. What was the clock cracker all about?
Oh, the clock cracker. Well, if he doesn't know what that's all about, I don't know why he's listening, because everyone knows what the clock cracker is about, don't they, Dan?
Yeah, of course. It's common knowledge these days.
No, I don't even know if we should even bother talking about it. I get bored with talking about the clock cracker.
Yeah, I think we better move on to the next question.
Well, no. I'll go on and I'll actually say the clock cracker, yeah. So what page was that on? Was that sort of like, was it in the 800s or the 600s? I think it was around, I can't remember what page it was. Any ideas, Dan?
Didn't it differ between the services?
Well, what I do is I've got my computer on at the moment. Let me just put Microsoft for in the cassette deck, and I'll load it up, because I'm just going to type in here, because everyone loves to hear the sound of a keyboard on a podcast. I'm going to put Clock Cracker Oracle in, but I'm not going to give you the answer. Anyone can read Wikipedia while they're on a podcast in the evening, so we're not going to do that, but I'm just going to tell you what the page number is. While this is loading up, I think Clockcracker, I think it was basic. Was it like just one real big parity check? So if things were scanning okay, your divide signs and your blocks and all that would come out as they should. And if the timing was wrong on the video blanking intervals or whatever, I think you'd start to get some messed up graphics gradually going across the screen as it refreshed. Done all that without looking, but now I can just tell you what the page number is. The guy we need to speak to about that is Peter Kwan, who's he didn't invent teletext, but he may as well have, because he just knows everything about it, and he's done some really good software as well, hasn't he? He's done WXTed, which we use a lot for teletext design. He's assisted with other people in the Raspberry Pi community to get the VBI teletext inserter going as well, hasn't he? So I think he's done an absolutely marvelous job. But I'm still trying to find the page number. How about that? No, it's not here. That's a shame, really, because I know that if you went on to page 799, there was that end of level boss, wasn't there, Dan?
Yes, indeed. But you've just ruined my joke for later, so we'll gloss over that for a moment.
Well, it's not a joke. It's true. You had an end of level boss there, and you had to hit the 0 and the 8 keys really quickly, like in track and field, to defeat him. Obviously. So, yes.
on channel 3 and channel 4, it was Bamba Boozler breathing pixelated fire.
Oh, yes, in yellow. Lovely. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, how did that happen then? Was that when you got 3 really easy questions wrong?
Well, it was basically when you just kept hitting the same button again and again. They got really annoyed, and then you got skipped to 899. Welcome to the end of level boss. And then Bamba Boozler appears and says, "Well, hello there, it's time for you to die." Except in a teletext voice. I don't know what a teletext voice might sound like.
Teletext voice. Yeah, I think it sounds exactly like that, actually. A level 2 teletext voice would sound like that, I think. But a level 1 would be like but then level 2 would be, "Now you must die." Because it's level 2 is obviously a lot better, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I've typed in Clockcracker Oracle, and basically I think I've got a TV program or something like that. No, I've got loads of stuff here. Oh, Mark Anderson, the clock is ticking on Oracle. Oh, it's loads of stuff cached from 2011, from back when we used to have a teletext service. So anyway, Russ, I hope that answered your question.
Yes.
Well, it did, really. We acknowledged the existence of a clock cracker. And
we also acknowledged the existence of the evil Bamba Boozler, the end-of-level guardian on Channel 4 teletext.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And, but I thought everyone knew about that as well. It's incredible. I never realised these things were Easter eggs.
Yes. Well, he has some more questions for us here.
Yes.
I presume this one's a quick-fire one, but he asks... Okay. Why the colours red, green, yellow and blue for the 4 Fastex keys?
Okay, right. Here's the thing. I think they're that colour because they're the most colours distinguishable out of the teletext palette. A white key, I don't think you can... Well, you can have white and black, but that won't be any different to the text. The yellow is certainly different from the green, and the green is certainly different from the red. The cyan, do you see what I did there, Dan? I said cyan for the first time ever in a public forum, because I normally say cayenne. The cayenne's too similar to the blue anyway, but I don't know. Although I think, didn't they use cayenne on some of the fast blue links anyway, because it looks a nicer blue. But no, the answer is actually, it was actually decided by the ancient Incas, who looked up at the stars and decided that the quickest way that they could get their sport was to be pressing a different colour to their news. And when they agreed back in the times of the Incas, they decided that red was always news, because news was danger and news was dangerous. Sport was always green because football pitches are green.
Yep. Yes.
And everything else was yellow and blue because they used to nibble at the cocoa beans all day.
Wait a minute. They played football in the Incan times?
Yes, of course they did. Yes, yes. That's why the Uruguay won the World Cup when they did, because they've had a lot of practice.
I just have a vision of them playing on sand rather than grass for some reason. Don't know.
Well, you know, when you handle a World Cup bid with, you know, and it's amateurish, you will get sand, but they've been preparing since the dawn of time. So they had mirages of what association football pitches would look like in many years to come across the Atlantic. And they then designated green to be the colour. Anyway, Russ, I hope that answers your question.
Well, I have another theory. If it were invented in the 80s, teletext, I think the four colours would have been hot pink, lime green, cyan. Whoa, it's got to be cyan. And one other, bright yellow.
Well, like a almost a fluorescent greeny, like a Stabio Bosque sort of colour.
Yes.
Nice and bright. I think, yeah, and they would certainly work. I think teletext would have caught on in an even bigger way in some of the other countries that didn't quite get it, you know, but that were really into disco.
Sorry, I just went over there to collect my remote control, and I can confirm that the four colours on the Fastex remote are peach, a slightly vomity colour, white, and...
Is this on your 22-inch bush again, Dan?
Yes, on the remote control. I've had this for years, so I don't know. Maybe once they were red, green, yellow, and blue. So, Russ, a variety of answers to your question there. Please select the one that you find most interesting and or informative, and use that for your dissertation on teletext.
I must admit, sorry, Russ, Dan does go on a bit. Sorry, mate. But, yes.
If you want to know what's on TV, anytime, any channel... Ask the expert, your TV.
So, sit back and relax, and let's see what's on tonight, shall we?
It'll instantly update you on what's showing in your region, what films are really worth watching.
Jam-packed with thrills, spills, and marvellously memorable...
Or what's happening on the soaps.
Will Billy stay with Sheila? Will Doe ever return to the close? Will Rod the Plod ever marry?
The easy way to ask your TV what's on in your region is to page Oracle Teletext.
All right, okay, right. So do we have any more questions?
Yes, Rusty Russ also says, also says he's got a monopoly on these questions. He says,
Monopoly,
you know?
The Strand. Red is the Strand, Bond Street green, Leicester Square yellow, and Mayfair blue.
Not on my monopoly board because they've all faded away. Anyway, did you know if your TV allowed to type 900 in, it would show 100 on text, and 088 would be 888.
Is that a question or a statement?
I think it's more of a statement of a fact.
Statement of a fact. Well, there you go. I think that should go down. I think we'll have a list of facts, and that is definitely up there with the first ones we're going to put on the list, because he's absolutely right. And I've got a Grundig portable TV here, and my one will actually display the channel number where the page number should go. So it will say BBC One, and it offsets the 100 down the an extra line down, which makes it look awfully hacked. And I know a lot of people haven't seen that before as well. So I did actually try earlier to put in higher numbers than 900, and I can confirm, Rusty Russ, that you are indeed correct in your assumption on more than your television set, because it does it on mine as well. 900 is 100, and 088 is 888. So, yes, well done. That's 10 points to Russ.
I would try that on my teletext, but I no longer have access to teletext these days.
Well, that's a shame, isn't it? The amount of televisions that get thrown away, and that's we're going to miss it one day, but there you go. Yep.
I'm going to have to head on down to my local rubbish dump and find an old Virgin box just so I can load up teletext again. I might do that, actually.
You're going to put that back to your 22-inch bush television.
Yes, so look out for me, ladies and gentlemen, on your local rubbish dump. Now, you
looking
mentioned...
for a Virgin. Oh, no, that's a Virgin box.
Virgin user. So, Carl, you mentioned teletext facts there. Well, this introduces us to a mini-section that we have here that we like to call hashtag made-up teletext facts.
Excellent. Or hashtag teletext made-up facts, TMF for short.
If there are indeed enough characters to put that, please use it.
Or TMUF. Teletext made up facts. How about that? TMUF.
TMUF. TMUF. Should we do
that? TMUF. Yes. Yes.
Hashtag.
Yes. So that's what we need, everybody. We need to know that you were mad enough to listen to this drivel. And we also need to know that you were can contribute to the next episode, because we need some Teletext made up facts so we can read them out, so you're not relying on my lack of wit for the next one, because it would be great. We do want some input, and it would be great to get other people in to give us their bits, really, because we could have a bit of fun with this.
I hate to inform you, though, Carl, that the hashtag TMUF has been hijacked by various other unscrupulous organizations posting selfies, etc.
Let me have a look. Hold on. All right.
So I suggest we might have to change that.
TMUF. No, I think it's broken. I think I'm using... Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. Makeup Fairy. It's the Makeup Fairy. Oh, yeah, we can't steal that, because she won't have any TMUF, will they? Because everyone will be teletexting that. Yeah. Okay, right. Well, teletext made up facts it is, then. Lovely.
We could just have teletext facts.
Teletext facts.
Hashtag
yes.
Teletext facts. Let's check.
So that's agreed, then.
Yes.
Well, we'll do that. When we're recording, we'll do that.
There are no results for teletext facts. So the next time we come to record this podcast again, we hope that there have been some facts. And an example fact might be, did you know that if you type in page 899, this has been ruined.
No.
The final boss of teletext appears and you can destroy it. Never mind. Just tweet your teletext facts to us.
I've got one teletext made up fact, and that is, did you know that on teletext high definition, if you put in the page number 1001, you'll get a picture of the Queen?
Ah, is it a pixelated picture of the Queen, or is it in HD?
It's in HD 16:9.
Ooh!
Yes.
How many colours?
32.
32 colours exist?
32 colours, yes. 32 colours, yep. And it's in 3D.
Oh,
that's gone past my 140 character limit now. But yes, there you go. That's the sort of things we need. Yes.
Yeah, but who uses 3D these days? It's just such an old technology. Who uses 70s technologies these days?
Well, that's a very good point. Who uses outdated technology?
Yeah,
I have no idea. Anyway, on with the Teletext podcast. That's really good. So, yeah, we've got that coming up as a feature as well. What's been going on in this subculture that we have of Teletext? We want to say hello to everybody on the Teletext Facebook group. There's 69 of you now, which is marvellous. I shan't name you all because, well, I can't pronounce some of your names. But, yes, hello to everybody. You can get us at www.facebook.com/groups/teletext group, or I'm sure if you put in the search bar the Teletext, the Facebook group, we come up as well. And we want to see plenty of people who are basically fed up with Facebook because it's all clickbait, actually use a really brilliant resource on there, which is our Facebook group, which will be really good as well. So hello to everybody on that. And we'd like to say a very big hello to, although I said I wouldn't do hellos, Jason Robertson actually does deserve a really big hello, because he does a lot of the archiving from the VHS and Betamax recordings, doesn't he, Dan? And shares them for prosperity for everyone there.
Yes, he's been particularly active in the last couple of months, posting his old archives that have been recovered from Betamax and VHS recordings. Apparently, it's easier to recover from Betamax because of the way it was all set up. So, if you have any tapes, then we would very much like to receive them or borrow them so we can recover the teletext, and then you can have them back afterwards.
Yep, what, Tales in Unexpected will one on those tapes, will we? And The Bill, some old episodes of The Bill, some Neighbours. Prisoner Cell Block H, which is always really good. That was the first ever programme that I set my video timer to record.
Fun fact.
Yes, and then do you know what the other fun fact was? I actually stayed up to see if it would actually work.
And did it?
Yes.
Hey, because that's brilliant.
And then I didn't need to watch it because I stayed up and watched it anyway. I don't even want to go there, but B. Smith was having some trouble at the halfway house, and it was going to be a struggle for her to stay straight, as it was for most of them in Cell Block H.
Importantly, was the show subtitled on 888?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I should have checked. That was about the time I was really a heavy teletext user as well, because you had the nighttime service, which had Cell Block H and all that on it, and there wasn't an awful lot on. But I do remember putting the news flashes on 150 and getting some real serious stuff through, like the invasion of Kuwait by Iraq and things like that on those things. So why did I not check that that was 888? Oh, dear. That would have been really good.
I thought for a minute, though, you were going to say you got serious news like the impending invasion of Earth by aliens.
Well, everybody knows that that will only be broadcast on teletext because they only want the savvy people to know, obviously, because everything else can be so easily be brought down by just turning the internet off. So, yes, that's the way they're going to tell everybody about the big one.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy that says the aliens walk among us and they use teletext to communicate.
Oh, yes, the number stations will rise again. But my tin hat's just fallen off my head. My little aluminium foil hat's just fallen off. But, there's a lot of seriousness with that because you look at a broadcast format like teletext, you do wonder how many codes and all that could have been sent to other people on hidden pages and things, and still could if you had the technology. Mm. But we don't need that technology anymore. We want to use technology that people can surveil and cache. We don't want stuff that can be kept secrets. You know, we don't want shortwave radio. We don't want teletext. That's nonsense because everybody can use that. That was episode 2 of Carl on his soapbox. Stay tuned for more.
So, yes, on the subject of tape recovery, please do send us your stuff. In particular, the good thing about this is we can look at the old BBC Genome Project, which lists old TV listings on the BBC from the 70s, 80s, 90s, basically going back to like the 60s. And we can pinpoint specific programs and recover the teletext for it. For example, during, I think, Christmas 1993, they ran a special version of Bamboozle branded Nightmare Bamboozle. So it was a special Nightmare adventure. You know Nightmare, the 90s, 80s kids TV show on Channel 3 on ITV?
Hello, team. Yes, I remember that. Yes, I remember the ZX Spectrum game for it as well, yes.
Ooh, nasty. Yeah, I couldn't play the Amstrad CPC version of that. It was too hard.
I couldn't either because I didn't have an Amstrad, but yes, I know. It was mad. Yeah, they did the hat on. They go forward, backwards, sideways. Yes, that's really good. And they actually did a thing over a couple of Christmases ago on CITV, didn't they, where they went retro and they showed a lot of the old programs. And I really enjoyed watching Nightmare, so that was really cool. So, yeah, that was good. So what sort of questions were they asking on this Nightmare version of Bamboozle?
Now, you see, the thing is, details of this quiz are scant. So this is why I want to find out about it, because I seem to remember it from the back of my mind about this being broadcast. But there is nothing on the internet about it. So if anybody has tapes from Christmas 93, then please do send them to Jason Robertson, 25 The Grange, Cur of the Aliens, which have invaded teletext. Great Britain.
Britain.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, for our foreign listeners, Britain, such a small place. Just ask for Jason in Britain. That'll get to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, teletext Jason. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, there you go. He's not doing much. All right. Yeah. All right, mate. Nice one. Yeah. That's good. So on your Amstrad then, did you have Prestel or anything? Were you a rich kid or were you teletexting in your spare time away from your Amstrad CPC 464?
Now, to be fair, the first time I had experience of a teletext TV must have been in the mid-90s, and then I got our family's own first teletext TV in about 98, so really, really late. I guess that shows how poor we were more than the advance of the technology, though, because I believe by the early 90s, pretty much all TV sets had teletext chips as standard.
I'd go along with that. I think we had a very small portable without teletext for a very long time, and my dad rented a television, and we got the first teletext television that we had was rented from Granada, and that was a Finlandia, which I think is the other badge make for a Philips. And a really nice telly set, and it had all the bits and bobs on it. And that was the first video we got with that as well. We rented them together. Yeah, but that was about 89, 90. So I was quite late to the teletext party as well. But just to show you that I haven't always had my excellent sense of humour, I was surfing on Teletext, and I think I was either reading Buzz or it might have been Digitizer. I don't know if it was running about that time, Dan. But I was reading a computer help page, and I was incensed that someone had sent in that they couldn't get their Defenders of the Crown to work on the ZX Spectrum because the disc wouldn't fit in a cassette player. And I actually took it seriously. And then from that point on, I vowed never to read that stupid page again. And that's probably where my sense of humour bypass has probably done me no favours at all, because some of the Teletext superheroes that are in the Twitter sphere now probably were really dead hilarious, but I sort of completely missed the joke because I was incensed that these 16 bitters were killing my poor old Spectrum, and I thought people were just taking the piss. So yeah, that's where I come from. But would Digitizer been going around about that time?
Oh, I think it was about 1993 that came in, when the legendary Paul Rose was inducted into Teletext.
That's for sure. I was going to say, was that the director of that dog film?
Yes, of course. Marley and Me. It was a brilliant film.
Oh, I do hope we will put in a Marley and Me. So, is it Marley and Me? Was that the one? No, that's the one that everyone cries at, isn't it? I thought he won Britain's Got Talent or something.
It was Pudsey the Dog, which is apparently a dog now. I thought it was a bear, but apparently it's a dog now. Pudsey. Oh,
they still haven't forked out for that eye operation. Bubum.
Hey,
I'm here all week.
Hey. You see, this is the problem. This is the problem with modern kids' television. Mm. You're writing for 8 and 9 year olds, like your good self, reading Digitizer with your sense of humor bypass, but your sense of humor hasn't developed till about the age of 12. So you're sitting there watching My Parents Are Aliens thinking, I don't understand. You just sat there with a blank, stony face.
Yes, no, that's for sure. Well, I'm 40 next month, and I still don't have a sense of humour, as people will know when they listen to this podcast. So, yes. Yeah, no, it's amazing. I've read a lot about him in Retro Gamer, and then I bought, on the back of that, I bought a book that he wrote. Was it Confessions of a Internet Freak or something? Where he was really, like, really winding people up and doing transcripts on that. I've got that book hanging around. So, Mr. Biffo, if you're listening, I have read your book. I did buy it off eBay, though. I'll have to send him 10p on Patreon to make it up to him. But very funny, very funny.
Yes, I can say that I also own that book, and I have not finished it yet. But I could go and get it and read some extracts from that. But he would certainly sue us. And anyway, if you want to read more of that stuff, he's got it on his new blog, digitizer2000.com, in the pranking honey section, the phoning honey section.
Ah, excellent. Shall I tell you what happens at the end of that book? Turns out he's a bloke.
Oh.
Yeah, see, he got a lot of other chaps jolly excited, and he kept sending pictures of himself for it's very funny.
I'm gonna have to throw that book away now. You've spoiled the whole thing for me.
Yeah, he can see dead people as well. But, yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, no, been looking at his blog. Really, really great stuff. And yes. I hope with all the thousands that are going to listen to this, they're going to swarm over there and enjoy his fare, but I'm hoping that we share the same ven of people and they can listen to this and enjoy that.
Yes, hopefully. Although we don't really talk that much about video games, although inevitably we probably will a little bit. Anyway, speaking of Mr. Paul Rose, aka Mr. Biffo, he has responded to my call for a Twitter comment. And he says, and I've got to do it in his voice. He's okay, going to be really offended. Oh, God. I've no idea. Something on level 2 Teletext?
Now, was that done in a suggestive question mark sort of way with the upward deflectation in the cadence?
Yes, that was the voice of Biffo the Bear there.
Biffo the Bear? My God, he's not aged at all, has he, since being on the back of the Beano?
Oh, of course not.
No, that's it. Well, in answer to your question, Mr. Biffo, yes, exactly. Level 2 Teletext. Well, yes, that's the one that they experimented with that I think some televisions were capable of doing it, weren't they? And I'd love to experiment with Level 2 Teletext, or Microsoft Paint, as I like to call it, because it offered a few more colours and it dealt with diagonals and all that in a lot better way as well. But I don't really know too much about it. I don't know, are there any graphic editors that we can use that can do some Level 2?
Oh, possibly. We could upgrade the Teletext Farty editor to do that. But
Would it be Teletext?
No, it wouldn't, because Level 2 Teletext is sacrilege because there is orange and brown. Well, I don't know about brown, but there is orange, and that is sacrilege.
I think there's polka dot as well, which I've never liked polka dot, and that's annoying. But so I think that's the equivalent of singing with auto-tune on, isn't it? You know, you've got to be able to use the raw materials. We're in the business of speaking to the organ grinder and not the monkey. Why have a dog and then use the vernacular yourself?
Yes. So if that was Level 2 Teletext, then what level of Teletext are we on now? What's interactive TV?
Well, that would be no level at all, because I don't use it, because I get my news in other ways. But what would it be? It would just be DVB rubbish, I guess. Or no, being fair to it, I guess it's probably broadcast in the same way, but there must be a lot more bandwidth involved. Perhaps some of our technical contacts can come back to us and put us straight on that.
Yes.
So we don't have to use Wikipedia for everything, which is something that we really don't like doing, because we like to use our own hard work and not leech off the hard work of others.
I certainly don't have a Wikipedia page in front of me right now. And I don't have the Teletext Wikipedia page in front of me as crib notes for this episode.
Absolutely not. Yes, for inspiration, I'm just looking at our Teletext Facebook group, actually. We've got some lovely pictures up here, some slides and things, and having a look through. But nothing level two.
Well, okay.
I like your car with CFAX on it. I'm not sure if I do, because if anyone can see that, it's up on there. It was posted 13 July by your man Dan, and there's a car with CFAX on the side. But I am beginning to be puzzled on how he can actually open the door.
That's what made me suspicious, you see. Because when I posted this, I said, I'm not sure if this is 100% genuine or if it was a Photoshop, because I have had this picture on my hard drive for about 6 years at least. And I'm still not sure. I look at it occasionally and think, that's stupid, that. What's it done that for?
I was scared it was your car, to be honest, and I was scared to comment on it. But anyone wants to see that, we'll tweet that picture up later, and perhaps we can invite comments on it to take some orders. We could get some decals printed up on that, perhaps.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it certainly is not my car. So, the final word... The final word for now on Level 2 Teletext.
Yes.
It is what you reach when you defeat Bamba Boozler at the end of page 899 on Level 1 Teletext.
And bang! Excellent work. You've rescued that joke. Thank you very much. I feel exonerated now. That is exactly right. But Level 2 obviously is a lot harder Teletext, isn't it? So you only get really bad news on it. and your shares are really rubbish, and your team never wins.
Yes. Oh, that must have been what I've been checking Wigan Athletic results on all these years.
I guess so. That's the other thing as well. Welcome to mediocrity. Welcome to having to wait 4 minutes for your team to come up, where your page isn't the Premiership and you have like two pages just for the top and the bottom of the table. You now have to rotate through to the Beezer Homes League and every other league going before that gets to page like 9 of 12, where it would have... Ensley League Division 1 or Ensley League Division 2, as it used to be in those days. You were so pleased to get your team promoted into the big leagues because you could just go straight to page 302 or something like that for your scores. And you didn't have to wait like the hoi polloi and wait for everybody else. So that's why I think that all Glory Hunters are, in fact, Teletext fans secretly, because they've got no time to mess about. They can't keep going on to waiting for a page to rotate. They just need to go to the Premier League page and just pick a team there so they can get their fix of scores just from one page without a rotation.
Yeah. The term Teletext supporter seems to be ubiquitous, because I've seen people talking about it in the Netherlands, in Czechoslovakia, on Twitter. But on that point, I am glad that Teletext no longer exists, because if it did, I'd have to check Wigan Athletic playing in the Bush 22-inch television league.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And who would their sponsors be? Just trying to think of a suitable 1980s sponsor to be watching that thing. It'd be like Crown Paints was for Liverpool, wouldn't it? So it'd be...
Gherkins.
Merkins?
Gherkins.
Well, actually, that's a good time to bring up our sponsor of our first podcast. I do find Merkins Gherkins absolutely nutritious. I mean, the gherkins I used to try before Merkins Gherkins came along, these aren't a patch on it. And I don't know about you, but I was using various other gherkin solutions to fill my cravings up before Merkins Gherkins came along. And these ones are just far superior. And if you type in the discount code on the merkinsgherkins.com site, if you type in Teletext is absolutely wonderful and I really like to hear this podcast over and over and over and over again, you will get 5% off your next year's subscription.
Excellent. Yes. So please go and do that. You. And I'd like to say that there is only one thing that beats Merkins Gherkins, and that is the tasty Gherkins Merkins.
The Gherkins Merkins. I've just had Merkin Gherkins on the phone. They've cancelled their advert now because of that.
Merkin Gherkins. Real American food.
Merkin Gherkins.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Because they hate Teletext, you see.
Yes, well, they did, didn't they? And I think this is partly because of the NTSC no two colours the same thing. I think it was, anyway.
Wait a minute. Who are the NTSC? Are they some secret American government organisation stopping Teletext getting in there?
Yes, they are, Dan, actually. It turns out that they were always run by Colonel Decker.
Ah.
Yeah, Colonel Decker, while he's after the A-team, he used the NTSC and he used to go out and get them. So, yes, that's right. And they said Sideline was actually stopping all forms of teletext communication on the television. Yes, and they did a pretty jolly pucker job. I think they had their own closed captioning thing in place already. So when we came across with our super mad Dutch teletext Philips chipsets, I think they said, get out of here on the horse you rode in on and don't bother us again. Although I think they did have a couple of teletext sites over there. I think Electro or something like that. Electra was quite a popular one. But that's all I really found when I didn't use Wikipedia to research a particular story for a particular magazine. So, yes, that's all I know about them. So perhaps if someone wants to give us more information, if you do have any American teletext users there, we want to put the record straight, we can crowbar that into the next episode, equals.
Excellent. And if actually you do want to find out more about the American teletext services, I recommend you look up on YouTube the Oddity Archives video, Teletext Heaven and Hell, and that explains everything you need to know about US teletext. Although I'm not sure he mentions much about British teletext.
This brings us back around to the States and the American equivalent to CFAX, KeyFAX. KeyFAX was home to America's first computer-generated TV program, the teletext news magazine Night Owl. Not to be confused with Night Towel. I own the copyrights to that. Airing on Chicago's WFLD for roughly a year, starting in September of 1981, Night Owl was like a more elaborate cable TV community calendar. Just with news. Shortly thereafter, cable superstation WTBS, or simply TBS, started running KeyFAX news in the overnight hours. This lasted a bit longer than Night Owl, running from 1981 to 1984.
I caught a tweet from an American tweeter who was at some museum, I think in Washington, and they hashtagged teletext in the picture. They did a quick synopsis on the slide, and they said, they had a slide of BBC CFAX, and I think the blurb went along the lines of, oh, well, teletext was some IT solution used, but it was the people who started it didn't get the concept of the internet. And I thought, they haven't really done their research because there wasn't really an internet. And, you know, anybody who did have internet and all that by the mid-80s could just about afford to rent a television set, let alone have a PC. So I thought that was I was going to do a snotty riposte back to that, but then I just carried on drinking wine and forgot about it because we all love a Twitter argument otherwise, don't we?
And, no, Carl.
Yes.
Don't succumb. Don't write an angry letter because I know that is what they want you to do. That is what the NTSC wants you to do because this is actually a parody. I have done some research and I do believe that Oh, you knew. Never mind.
No, carry on.
Yes, I do believe it's something to do with Will Ferrell or something like that. Some parody museum, tech museum thingy. People have been passing it off as real. The swines.
No. Thank you, Dan. I have been counselled. Thank you for that.
This is what I believe to be true from my own internet research, but that is basically just 5 minutes of looking on Google. So it may be false, but I prefer to believe that it's false because it gets me mad.
Ooh, those NTSC. I don't like them at all. They're coming around ruining my life. We're pals. And the NTSC want to break our friendship. It's disgusting.
This podcast was brought to you by the NTSC.
Yes. Enjoy NTSC, but just do not question our motives.
What could NTSC stand for? No teletext, Sir Victor.
Yes. I always thought it was no two same colours or something like that. I thought that's what they actually officially stand for, made up facts.
Okay.
Yes, I think it would be no teletext secured criterion people, but we dropped the P. One thing I hate, Dan, is recursive acronyms. I really hate them. There's a company called Ace Catering Supplies. And do you know what Ace Catering Supplies stands for?
Ace Catering Supplies.
And I hate it. I really do. It's just like some people get mad about commas. I get mad about recursive acronyms.
Right, because if you read that, it basically says Ace Catering Supplies, catering supplies, which is...
Yes.
Unnecessary repetition and...
Yes, exactly. So the NTSC would actually stand for NTSC Secure C of NTSC, and it would be really annoying. It would be something like that. It would just be so damn recursive. It would just really annoy me. So, yes, there you go. So thanks for counselling me on that as well. So do we want to review a game? I've got some games here. I haven't got anything to play them on, but I've got a Combat 2600 cartridge here, if that will get us in our demographic.
I guess so, but if we can relate it to teletext, then I'm sure we'll be fine to do that.
Okay, well, here we go.
Oh,
this is my Combat cartridge. It doesn't work exactly like my teletext on my other television. There you go, sorted.
That is a brilliant review.
I rate it 6 out of 10, and I believe that I can bury it in the desert too, and we can talk about E.T. for a bit. But no, we won't do that. But I think E.T. and all that would have played quite well on the teletext thing. I did actually recreate Atari's Adventure as a teletext screen, and it worked out really well. The character block resolution is very similar to teletext. I'm wondering how similar the hardware would have been to generate the graphics, because they do look immensely similar. So if I'm talking about this now, I'm hoping at some point you'll be seeing a picture of it on your magical computer monitor screens, because you'll get the idea. It's not perfect, and of course if I needed to animate the game, I'd have to make about 16,000 separate screens and put them on rails. But that brings me on to an interesting subject, actually. Well, interesting to me, on a bit of a roll here, but reinventing the genre of an adventure game. I know Raquel Myers has done an absolutely stunning bit of work with her Thread of Fate, where she uses primarily sort of black and white graphics with a splash of red. You can go around a whole world of her musings, which is absolutely brilliant, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Yes, so I was looking to see if anyone would co-collab on remaking the classic Melbourne house game Hampstead on teletext using the FastX, so Lynx. Now, the main limitation we got is with Hampstead, the idea is you have to attain Hampstead by doing adventure things. So you have to get keys, look for this, ride bike and all that. And obviously you've got no fields to use. So I was hoping that we could look at various different ways of actually being able to have the salient options as fast text links. And if those fast text links linked up to hex pages like they did on Bamboozle, then it would be rather difficult for anybody to hack it and get to the end screen just by pressing 999. So what I mean by that would be that if you get out of bed and you have to find the UB40, which is, I think, what you have to do in the first thing, you could actually have that as one of the options, but not making it too damn obvious that that you can either go north, go south, go east, or pick up the UB40. So that's one thing I was thinking of doing, and hosting it on the Raspberry Pi so that people could download it and actually play Hampstead on their teletext-enabled televisions. Don't know what you think of that, Dan.
I think it's a fantastic idea, but you could spread that out, expand it to encompass the internet as well, because you could also port it to the Mode 7 software that supports Teletext 40. So you could have a special website where people could visit and play the game. Mm. Although, people would just type in random numbers and letters and hope to get a secret page. Although that could be part of the fun of the game, I guess. If people just typed in AAA and it comes up saying, "You wanted to call the AA, this is not here."
Yes. So you should try the RAC, but you can't because R isn't in hexadecimal, so go away. I think that's got some legs. Now, the only limitation I've had with that is that I do find lots of Hampstead solution maps, but you need more than solutions. You need the dead ends as well. And that, that's the problem with it. I can do a linear thing that will get you to an achieved ending on it. So I'm also thinking of perhaps shelving that idea for now and going and doing a choose your own adventure style book where, you could be reading about things and then just choosing two or three different outcomes by pressing fast step buttons on that. So they're things I'm thinking about, internet. And if anybody's got any thoughts or wants to try and help out or something like that, I'm sure Dan and I would be all ears because, like most good ideas, we don't have plenty of time to do them.
There's a channel you can turn on 24 hours a day. For the very latest information on sport, constantly updated news, international and regional, TV gossip, local cinema, and music. Plus the latest information on holidays, finance, the environment, and more. And the amazing thing about this channel? You already have it. Teletext, the information channel, exclusively on ITV and Channel 4.
So, do you have anything else to add to this absolutely brilliant inaugural podcast?
Well, yes, I have some thoughts on your previous thought, Mr.
Go for it. Yes.
I think it's a fantastic idea, and I will help you do it. We'll try and get it in some sort of gallery or installation or something like that so people can come along. Maybe we can get it in people's shops, chip shops and things, so people can download it to the Raspberry Pi. And then it's like in the 80s when you were waiting for your chips to be made. And your sausages and things. You could be playing Space Invaders, except you'll be playing Hampstead.
Yes. I'll have to order another portion of chips. I'm now on the bike and I've changed out my tracksuit. Oh no, I need another Merkin.
Merkin. Here's a thought. Here's another thought, actually. Yes. What would a Teletext arcade machine look like? Would it be just four big buttons, red, yellow, green, blue, or in my case, slightly washed out green, slightly washed out yellow, sick colour, and white?
Well, yes, it could be. Yes, a whole Teletext sort of thing. Yeah, a whole Teletext arcade machine. What game could you play with that? Definitely have some ideas on that, bearing in mind that you don't want too many options because we don't want too many screens. But yes, that would be absolutely brilliant if you like there was an up, down, left and right. Hunt the Wumpus, perhaps. I wonder if you could do a Hunt the Wumpus. That's always a game that people can play on very simple systems. But I don't think the randomness would work particularly well because I don't think you can have like a pseudo random generator on Teletext because we're putting it all on rails, Dan. So it'll be like, oh, I've completed that game of Hunt the Wumpus. We'll have to speak to Dan or Cole to send us a whole new load of screens so we can play it again and still be surprised about where the Wumpus is.
Well, here's one way you could do it. Because Teletext is broadcast like a TV show, ladies and gentlemen, it's constantly being sent to your TV. So there could be a bloke in a room somewhere in the BBC TV Centre or wherever it is now, the media city in Salford, and he could be sat there with his...
A wumpus. He could be the wumpus.
Yeah. He could be waiting for people to play the game, waiting for the red button to come on, so we can broadcast it. And so you can play the game in real time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, like in Nightmare. You could have a nightmare as well, you know. You could get the person with a funny hat on with horns looking like something out of Ico or Shadow of the Colossus. And he'll have those little horns out his head and they'll be going, instead of saying, go forwards, they'll be going, press red, press red, press red, press red.
Warning, team. Mutant Bamboozler approaching.
Warning, team. This is boring. And Home and Away's on next.
This will certainly not be cut out, because we need the studio time.
That's good, team. So is that guy still going? I'm worried about people that I grew up with. They've either been banged up or they've died. Is he still with us, old
team? Yes, he is indeed, because a couple of years ago, maybe 18 months, he participated in a comeback episode of Nightmare for YouTube. And you can go and look that up if you wish. It's got the old... Well, it's actually got some new designs by the guy who devised the original dungeons, Mr. Yes. David Rowe.
Yes.
And features YouTubers as contestants, only one of whom I'd ever heard of.
What, the contestants?
Yes.
Right, okay, yes. Oh, right, so that sounds brilliant. That's a good way of doing it. I suppose you could do it on Periscope or Meerkat these days as well. Mm. So, yes. But that's innovation again. That's using an old format and just slightly porting it over to something that's relevant these days. These old technologies, they do stay constant. I mean, a lot of things are moving. There's a lot of talk in the tech world about Reddit being on its uppers because they've got rid of a CEO this week they're not speaking to their people. And if you look, that's a mere blink of an eye or a mere flick of a carousel page in the 40-45 years that Teletext has been known, you know, and I still think there'll probably be more people that remember older technology than people who use Reddit and all that, although that's quite a seismic shock there. I think a lot of people are going over to other sites now, but I can't say I'm a really big Reddit user. I think there is a Teletext Reddit though, isn't there?
There is indeed, but it's not very often used. We should start a campaign to get it going again.
Upvote it. Or start a Reddit page that says, Teletext people are bloody nice.
Yes.
You know, there's plenty of hate on... Well, they say there's plenty of hate, but, you know, there's plenty of hate everywhere. But let's get a bit of positivity. Teletext is blimmin' good. And that could be a badge or a T-shirt we made. That would be very good. And we could start a big movement off.
Make a T-shirt that says, Teletexter is blimmin' brilliant.
Yes, it's blimmin' brilliant or flippin' brilliant. Twitter, can we please have some suggestions on what to put on this, on our T-shirt and on our slide that we'll make about saying our catchphrase and our slogan? So we can be saying that. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, and don't forget the hashtag TeletextFacts. Tweet us your made-up Teletext facts, and we'll read them out on the next episode. If they are not profane.
If they are profane, we will say them, but we just won't be recording them, because that's jolly naughty. Words that are bad are jolly naughty.
Yes.
We've got to be clean, because, you know, we might get on iTunes, and they get the right arse, don't they, if you keep swearing. So you can't keep doing that.
That's correct. Yeah. Hopefully we will be on iTunes eventually. You may even be listening to this episode on iTunes right now, in which case, hi iTunes, how are you doing?
Yes, those flying cars, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, they really get on my nerves. Yeah,
hover boots.
Yeah, hover boots. They'll never take off.
Hey!
Hey!
Brilliant.
Very good. I'm here all week.
And
thank
on
you.
That bombshell, it's time for... the Facebook poll of the podcast. And
excellent.
We need a jingle here. Just let's introduce a jingle or something.
Okay.
Is Santa Claus coming?
No. Well, I don't know. It depends. We'll have to check the 22-inch bush.
It probably will be Christmas by the time this goes out. It'll take us that long to edit it with all the mistakes that we've made.
What mistakes? What never? Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Anyway, it's the Facebook poll of the podcast, and this is very exciting indeed. This month, we conducted a poll to find people's favourite Teletext colour. And...
Ooh, don't ask me to do a drum roll.
No. And the results are... As of the
14th of July, 2015. In first place, it is Cyan with a massive 4 votes, ladies and gentlemen. So bow down to the winner, Cyan, the most popular Teletext colour of all time.
Yes, but it's got to keep working at that position. It can't just rest on its laurels as being the best colour in the Teletext palette. It's got to keep trying, and you got to keep the performances up, Cayenne, okay? So, you know, Cayenne West, you've got to keep your performances up, because the other colours don't going to stand for it. And, you know, next time, you know, it's a lovely, lovely thing, but I think you should be trying something new for next time, Cayenne. Thank you. So I've just given Cayenne a bit of advice there.
That was brilliant. We just had a guest appearance from David Beckham.
Oh, yeah, so we did, yeah. Yeah, he's now actually Teletext colour coach for the New York Whatsits now. He plays soccer, and he coaches the colours, but unfortunately they've been relegated to the NTSC this year, unfortunately.
The New York Whatsits.
Yes.
Are they in the same league as the Chicago Lays? And the Philadelphia Walkers.
I think they're in the same as the Illinois Frazzles.
The Vancouver Monster Munch.
Oh yes, or the I think you've also got some Canadian teams in there as well. You've got the Montreal Skips.
Yes. Oh, Skips. Brilliant.
Oh, this is depressing. We're looking at Jason's picture from the 1st of July, and neither of our teams are on the ITN football results.
Oh, forget that. Who needs them? All we need is Teletext.
Yes.
Because of my Teletext, Wigan Athletic are always number one because I hacked it. Yeah.
Yeah, who are they always beating? That'd be quite a good one. Who's your real bunny team? I mean, if you lose every game, of a season, who have you got to beat just to make it better?
It changes from season to season. For a while, it was
because you don't stay in the same league for very long.
Well, basically, at the moment, yes. In the last few years, because of various reasons, we've been dropping through the leagues. Mm. And most recently, it's nobody, because the last person we beat was...
Oh, Blackpool. You must have beaten Blackpool.
Yes, we did. 1-0. But of course, on my Teletext, we won all games in the season, all 36 games, so it's fine. We were the champions.
And the Champions League.
Yeah, we were in the Champions League, and we actually, we got through to the final.
Actually, it reminds me, one of my favourite screens that I made on Teletext was what if Speedball was a thing, and I did the Speedball 2 results on a BBC thing, and all the links at the bottom were ice cream, ice cream, ice cream.
I missed that at first, but that was probably the best part of it.
Yes, yeah, I think it's because it auto-crops, doesn't it? And I looked at that and I thought, I can see why I hadn't seen that. But that was quite good. It got quite a good response back as well on the Twitter when I put it up there. So, I hope to be doing some more slides and updating Teletext R or Teletext R and getting more stuff on Teletext 40. Got to look out for a nice DIY computing article coming up. We've still got the Houston album that they released of their computer music with Ben Dalglish and people like that on it. We've still got to review their album, and I'm hoping that we will do the review for that, and that will come up on Teletext R as well, and we might give that probably a mention on the next podcast as well, because Houston was so kind to actually send me a press copy. They must have thought that, you know, I was a big time Charlie, and they sent one through when I asked for it, and I've not actually come back and reciprocated with a review. But I would just say, in a nutshell, it is a really good bit of chip tunage there, and they've made a really good job of actually bringing the tunes into proper physical life, because I think when they speak to most of the chiptune artists, they are proper musicians anyway, and I guess a lot of the music has been realised, and it's certainly worth a listen, so go out and listen to that. But if you don't believe us, read our review when it actually comes up, and we'll be able to put some more light on that particular album. And if anybody else has got anything they want us to review, we will review it. How about that, Dan?
Absolutely anything. Just send us any old junk that you've got lying around the house, and we will review it. We'll make a YouTube channel.
Pay the whole postage, though. I mean, I'm not going in to pay the postage and then having to review, I don't know, some
a crappy beer old mat. Yeah, Super Nintendo PlayStation hybrid that never even took off. I don't want to be looking at anything like that. It has to be something good, like a beer mat, yes, or something like that. Excellent. So homework for everybody. I want everybody to text in your made-up bits and bobs and ideas and answers and more questions, more reviews, more everything, really. So, yeah. Do you have anything else, Dan?
We actually had one more listener question. Do you think we should cover it, or do you think we should save it for the next edition? He may be fairly disappointed if we don't cover it, but it is a fairly large topic, and maybe it deserves its own larger section on a separate podcast.
We'll mention it.
Oliver Wright at Linebeak on Twitter, that's at Linebeak, all one word, says, we've got to cover Backchat, Magazine, and Digitizer at some point.
I'll answer that right now. Yes, we have. Yes, that's a brilliant idea. No, in all seriousness, we are looking at doing things like that, but we want to make sure we've got a thing already. We do have some people that would be interested in putting some meat on the bone for that sort of thing, so to speak. But what we don't want to do is get them in so only 10 people listen to it. So we need plenty of people interested, and we will cover that more. But yeah, that will be something that we'll go on. Thanks for that. Is that Linebreak, did you say?
Linebeak. Oliver Wright. Linebeak. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Oliver. We certainly will do that. And yeah, bear with us. We'll come up with the goods in the next installment, page 101 of Teletext R.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yes. Anything else there, Dan?
No, I believe that's everything I have on my little document of... I mean, it's not Wikipedia. It definitely isn't Wikipedia that I'm reading from here. Nothing to see.
Nope, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here on Wikipedia. Lovely. Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
Wikipedia, like Teletexter.
Yeah, Wikipedia-er. Yes, we could start our own Wikipedia-er, and it could be in Teletext. But it would have to get to the point, which is what I've not been doing for about an hour. An hour and a half. Crumbs. Well, when we edit it down, about 3 minutes. But yes, I've certainly been chuntering on. I shall give all your eardrums a rest now. And I think it's only best for me to say thank you very much, Dan, for facilitating this podcast. And I will certainly await other people's comments. And, well, hopefully, if they're nice things, listen to them accordingly.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be a lot of not very nice ones, but we shall completely ignore them and throw them in the bin, because constructive criticism does not exist on the internet. But there again, this is Teletext, and everything on Teletext is true. So
exactly, except for the Queen dying, Queen Mother dying in 1995.
Oh, of
that
course.
That was an error. That was an error, yes.
Pity there are no screens of that actually happening. See, this is the thing about Teletext. It captures a moment in time, and if you don't capture that moment in time with your camera, then it's lost. It's just a memory.
They should do a Snapchat or something like that based on that premise. Ah, but they do, you see. So there's no such thing as a new idea, only good ideas.
That's a very, very good, a very, very good motto by which to live your life, and by which for us to leave on. That made no grammatical sense, did it?
To which whom we must believe we must leave now.
Yes, indeed. I'm trying to be too posh for my own good. This generally happens on these podcasts. But yes, thank you, Carl. I believe you thanked me there for inviting you on this. But you are indeed the co-host, and I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight.
Well, thanks very much. And remember, guys, keep teletexting. Bye-bye.
Keep teletext-er-in.
Teletext-er.
And, of course, this podcast was brought to you by the NTSC and Merkins Gherkins, but not Gherkins Merkins. Thank you.
Yum. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Henry?
Morning.
Wife and I got a new bush this weekend for the drawing room.
Bush for the drawing room? How interesting.
Yes, beautiful colour, you know.
That's blooming good.
And a fantastic design.
How very, very novel.
Remote control.
Remote control? Whatever will they think of next?
You can't beat a bush.
We've got a tree in our bathroom.